STD program, and I'm going to talk about vaccinating high-risk men in Men's Central Jail using a new accelerated schedule hepatitis A, B vaccination. And so the objectives of my talk are really to describe the process of setting up this demonstration project and to describe the hepatitis project in a jail unit that houses men who have sex with men and transgendered persons. So in the US, because vaccination in children and adolescents has been so successful, the majority of acute hepatitis B cases now occur amongst young adults who are in high-risk groups, and that includes men having sex with men, injecting drug users, and people who are incarcerated. Now, the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends giving hepatitis A and or B vaccine to MSM, IDU, people who are incarcerated, and people in corrections. So exactly the population that I'm going to be talking to you about. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department houses nearly 17,500 men in 7 jails across the county. Our project takes place in Men's Central Jail, which is the biggest jail in the free world, and it has 6,000 to 7,000 inmates. However, the project I'm involved with is in a tiny unit with 330 inmates, and they have about 2,700 admissions a year. And many of these men are admitted on sex-related charges, so prostitution charges, and on drug or alcohol charges. This is what the unit looks like. It's called the Case 6. The picture on the right is during some remodeling that was taking place, so you can see that the beds are extremely close together. In reality, they're a little further apart. They have mattresses, and obviously what the guys do is put the sheets between the top bunk and the bottom bunk and have sex on the bottom bunk. 100% of people in this unit have sex with men. 25% are injecting drug users. And you see, you know, in this crowded situation with 100 people per dorm, there's huge potential for sexual mixing. And these people are allowed one condom a week. Our unit tests everyone for STDs before they're admitted to the unit, and HIV testing is optional. And you know, they only get one condom, but they use Snicker wrappers and candy, you know, whatever they can find, they're going to be using. So we've established that the people on this unit are at high risk for hepatitis A and B. And the Sheriff's Department's been really interested in having vaccination projects for some time, but they really wanted any service to be sustainable. They weren't interested in someone coming in saying, I've got free vaccine that's going to expire in 6 months, can I give it to your inmates? They wanted an ongoing, sustainable project. They also were concerned about the ability to give follow-up doses, and they cautioned us that even if we could make vaccination work in this little unit, it didn't mean it was transferable to the general jail population. K6, many of the inmates are repeat offenders coming into the same unit over and over. 90% of them have been incarcerated before, and the staffing is the same in the unit. These deputies have been there for many years, know the system, know many of the inmates, and are really pro-public health. So different to the rest of the jail where the staff rotates somewhat. So the California Department of Health Services put out an RFP to provide vaccination for high-risk individuals initially for a year, but extended to 18 months. And they specified that anyone who applied had to have the adequate equipment and staff to run the project. So basically, the grant provided the vaccine and some brochures, and that was all. So I just want to run very quickly through how the project works. Firstly, our nurses go through security and they arrive at the jail, go to an office area to pick up the vaccine, and then pick up all their needles and paperwork, and they walk upstairs to a different part of the unit where they're going to be giving the vaccine. They're greeted by a long line of inmates who've been given passes to come up from the dormitory to get their second and third shots. The community worker locates the record, and the public health nurses vaccinate. When all those guys are seen, they then go downstairs to a different level to where the dormitories are. And they ask to speak to someone called the house mouse. This is a sort of self-identified leader of each dormitory who will go around the bunks trying to get people to come up and get a shot. Now, this is where one of our problems lies. A lot of the guys are fast asleep. We go on Friday mornings. It's the only time that there's space and staff to supervise us and keep the project safe. And a lot of these guys have been up all night partying. They have fashion shows, they're talking, they're watching TV. They have to get their breakfast between 4 and 5 in the morning, and then queue up to get their meds, and then they go back to sleep. So one dorm in particular, it's really hard to get anyone out of bed to get a service. But the ones that do come up to the office area, the community worker registers and screens them, and then the nurses vaccinate them. We give them a paper record card, and we complete their medical file in the jail, and then we go back to the office and enter them in a registry and in a database. So that's how the whole thing works. We chose to use Twinrix because it's a combined hepatitis A, B vaccine, and our inmates are at risk of both. And it was only FDA approved last year, and it basically gives three shots within the first 3 weeks and a booster at 12 months. It's obviously more expensive. It only gives the same protection as two shots. If you get the first three shots in 3 weeks, it gives the same protection as two shots in a month. So the reason we chose it, although it's more expensive, is that it gives more immediate protection for these guys who are in jail for a very short period of time. We realize they're unlikely to continue the series when they leave the jail, and they're at immediate risk of hepatitis. They're going into this unit with a whole bunch of other guys who have sex with men, and they only have their one condom. This graph shows the length of stay on the unit, actually in 2005, from entering the unit. So on day one, 100% of men are in the unit, and that drops by the time we give the first dose of accelerated, nearly a quarter have already left. By the time of the third dose, only 53% remain on the unit, and by the time the booster shot's due, less than 1% are still there. But you can see the accelerated schedule in the red dots enables us to reach more men than if we do the traditional Twinrix schedule of 0, 1 month, and 6 months, when by the time of the second shot, only 45% of inmates would still be present. So I'm going to present the results. The abstract has the results from the first 2 months because we only started this project in August, but I'm going to give you the results for the first 7 months of the project. Overall, we've given 1,255 doses to 555 inmates. Almost all of them have had the combined vaccine, and that's because less than 3% tell us that they've either had hepatitis A or B before, or they've been vaccinated for A or B in the past. We think about 35% of people on the unit overall have started a vaccine series. And when we began, obviously no one had been vaccinated, so we were giving 40 to 60 doses per session. But as the project's progressed, it's kind of stabilized at about 30 inmates per session, and that's once a week. And this shows the return rates. Obviously 100% of people getting the first dose, 78% get the second, and 58% get the third. So that fits very nicely with that curve from 2005, where we predicted how many people would get vaccinated. Less than 1% refuse the second or third doses because of side effects or intercurrent illness. So if they're still on the unit, we pretty much are able to give them the second or third shot. And feedback has been really good. We're only seeing the guys who want to be vaccinated because all the rest stayed in bed. And so they're very receptive and very grateful that people are really interested in their health and prepared to come and do this for them. And as this guy said, this is great. It's not what you think about when you're on the street. This is a great opportunity. They're literally a captive population and we can vaccinate them. This is a picture of one of our community workers posing as an inmate. So looking at the risk factors in the people we vaccinate, I keep saying men, but actually 88% of the people we vaccinate are men and 12% are transgender. This compares with 3% transgender on the general unit. So I'm glad that we're vaccinating a disproportionate number of transgenders because many of them are sex workers and many of them have HIV, so they're extremely high risk. A third of our inmates have sex with men and also with women, so a potential bridge to the perinatal population. And in terms of risk behavior, a fifth inject drugs, a third don't inject but use other drugs, and 18% are sex workers. And if you add these together, because obviously some have more than one risk factor, 60% either use drugs or are sex workers. A fifth report being HIV positive, and less than 1% have a sex partner who's a known hepatitis B carrier. Obviously, there's challenges working in this setting. I really wanted to do serology because I wanted to use the vaccine efficiently, and I also wanted to be able to detect hepatitis B carriers. But our lab were doing manual testing for hepatitis and could not increase their capacity. But we are hoping to start very soon. We're not using our staff as efficiently as we could. LVNs or registered nurses can give vaccination, but we only have PHNs in our program, so they're relatively expensive staff members. They like to work in pairs, partly for personal safety. They're in small offices with needles and inmates, and also because the guys arrive in batches, as I described, it's important for the custody process that they can be processed efficiently so they can go back to their unit. Also scheduling, as I said, Friday morning is not a great time because many of them are asleep, but we don't have the staff or the secure space to offer services on any other day. And we've tried offering vaccine at the same time as giving the annual flu shot, and we've also tried vaccinating on additional days with kind of mixed success. We have an immunisation registry, which is really good. We use it in our STD clinics. It's used across the county for immunisation clinics. But there are some limitations in the jail. It's a web-based system, but we don't have internet access. We haven't even got a computer, but even the deputies haven't got internet access on the unit, and you can't enter patients offline. It's not programmed for the TwinRix accelerated schedule, and it probably never will be because that is a more expensive schedule that's not routinely recommended. It can't generate the state reports that we need, and we can't enter any medical information onto it. However, it has been very useful in that only one inmate has refused to go on the registry. It's an opt-out system. And we've been able to see when we've entered people on it, some of them have already had hepatitis vaccination in our clinics, and so we're able to tailor the series accordingly, according to their past history of vaccination. We've also seen a handful of inmates who have gone on to be vaccinated in other clinics after they've left the jail. So how about continuing the vaccine series? Well, if they're in jail and they're on the unit on a Friday morning, we will vaccinate them and give them their next shots. But they could be transferred to another unit. They could be in the medical centre. They could be in court that day. They could be locked up if they're too dangerous to be let out. There could be a lockdown where the whole unit is closed down or the whole prison is closed down and you're not allowed any movement between the units. So even when they're in jail, they can be hard to reach. If they go to prison, there's no vaccine available. And if they're released, we do have a network of 12 STD or immunisation clinics where they can get free vaccine. We also have a gay and lesbian centre and AIDS Healthcare Foundation clinic that specialise in seeing MSM that they can go to. And they all use Link, so they can look them up in the registry. We can't use reminder recall. Many of these people have no reliable address, or they're homeless, or they don't know where they're going to be in a year when the booster shot is due. And of course, many of them get readmitted, and if they come back to the jail, they'll probably come back to that unit, and we can continue the series then. And obviously, a big education point is that it's never too late to continue the series. You just pick up from where you left off. You never need to start over. And so we tell that to every inmate to encourage them to continue at some point. There are several logistics with setting up a service anywhere, but especially in the jail. We had to obtain a refrigerator. It took ages figuring out the anaphylaxis kit. We needed it to be really accessible if someone had a reaction, but it contains drugs and needles, so it had to be kept secure away from the inmates. We have to keep a needle log to monitor every needle that we use and who we used it on. We have to count them at the beginning and at the end to make sure none go missing. We had to do most of the paperwork. We had to customize it because of the jail and because of the accelerated schedule. We wrote patient information leaflets, but the jail didn't like us using the word ass or butt in them, so we had to take all that out because it wasn't thought to be professional. And we had to create databases to monitor the project and to sort out the recall. Obviously, you had to collaborate with both the jail and several programs, ACD program and also immunization program. And our nurses built up a really good relationship with the sheriff's department and also with the inmates. They enjoy going in there, they're respected. The sheriff's department value their professionalism. At first, they're a little wary, but once they realized that our staff were reliable, they were going to turn up every week, provide a professional service, the relationships become really good. But we have to recognize that the priority for the jail is custody and safety, and it's not preventative health. And I think this is a great way of illustrating it. This is a sign on the wall of the dormitories. It's a felony to engage in sexual activity within the jail. Anyone know what the box underneath is for? It's the condom drop box. So they're right next to each other. And so this just sums up the dilemma between health and the law. So in summary, 35% of inmates have started a vaccine series, 58% have had three doses, over 99% have accepted going on to LINC, the immunization registry, and less than 3% report a history of either hepatitis A or B or vaccination. And so the majority of inmates receive the combined vaccine. In conclusion, inmates are at high risk of hepatitis A and B. Vaccinating them is very demanding of staff time, but inmates are willing to be vaccinated, willing to complete their series, and willing to go on an immunization registry. Using this alternative schedule enables us to get the majority of inmates to receive two or more doses of vaccine during the short time that they're in jail. And providing vaccine in this setting is feasible, but many compromises have to be reached. I'd like to acknowledge many people in the program, the Sheriff's Department, Immunization and Acute Communicable Diseases for their support, and obviously to my co-authors. Thank you very much.